Good morning, King's Church.
Good morning.
It's so lovely to be gathered here today to celebrate Easter and, of course, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus and also celebrate the wonderful baptisms that are going to be happening shortly. I'm also so happy that my husband's here today.
Yay.
And my daughter's here celebrating her first Easter. Although I am a little concerned Stefan might be sat a little too far back because he certainly doesn't hear the baby crying in the night. Apparently he can't hear the baby crying from his side of the bed. I'm only joking, he's honestly an amazing father between the hours of 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. But you only have to look at my husband holding our beautiful daughter this morning to realise what miracles God has done in my life. See, this time last year, I was sat up on the balcony, social distancing from everyone, because I was about to embark on our IVF journey. And before we did it, the church came together to pray for us. And as you can see, a year on, what remarkable miracles God has done in my life. What a remarkable God I serve. But for a lot of people today, Easter is possibly just another holiday, an extended weekend to spend time with family, to maybe eat lots of chocolate, to maybe go on visits, or possibly a weekend of just relaxation. But for Christians, we know different. Because for Christians, it's the most significant event that happened in history. We know it to be important because the resurrection of Jesus changed everything for us. It changed everything for me. And I want to start this morning by reading from Romans 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a love that is. And to truly understand this love, it's important to take the time to remember the cross today and to remember what Jesus went through on the cross. Crucifixion was not just death. It was a means of torture until death. It was horrendously gruesome, and it was designed to prolong pain and to humiliate as much as possible. We cannot begin to fathom what Jesus went through on the cross, the physical pain. We read about it in the Bible, the nails, the crown of thorns. But Jesus didn't just go through a physical pain. He went through a spiritual pain. Because on the cross, he took on all our sins, all the sins of the world, he took on. And in that moment, in doing so, he was separated from the Father. We cannot begin to imagine that pain. No matter how hard we try, we just can't understand that pain. And Jesus paid the ultimate price and endured our death, my death, on the cross, and rose up again on the third day, ensuring that we may live life and live life in all its fullness. But I've not always known this love that I've talked about this morning. I've not always known this love that I've read about in Romans 5. See, I grew up going to church every week. My parents are Christians. And as long as I can remember, I went to church on Easter Sunday. I've heard the resurrection story over and over again, and I could recall it over and over again. And I've seen the symbol of the cross everywhere. I'm used to even wearing one round my neck. But ironically, I didn't even truly understand what the cross meant for me, because I wasn't living in the freedom of the cross. I didn't feel worthy. I was constantly looking for validation from other people in everything I did. I didn't understand that Jesus had already given me all the validation I ever needed by dying for me on the cross. And for many years, I would come to church every Sunday, join in the worship, and leave feeling better about myself. And it was only when Monday morning rolled in that I would just forget that God existed, almost. I'd live life without him. For me at the time, it was definitely religion over relationship. I believe in God. I'd always believed in God. But you've got to remember, even the devil believes in God. Without a doubt, he believes in God. It's not enough to believe in God. And even though I perceived myself to be a Christian at the time, I was unknowingly, or maybe even knowingly, doing everything without him. I was living on my own terms and in my own strength, trying to secure my own salvation through my own good deeds and merit. And like Dave talked about this morning, I almost didn't want to give up living the way I was living. I was afraid to give that up. And of course, inevitably, I failed. I was miserable. I was angry. I was a pessimistic person. And I was in a really dark place. I'm sure Stefan felt like a really lucky man at the time. And my anger and frustration and bitterness only grew when a few years ago I became quite poorly. I was rushed to hospital and ended up having emergency surgery. And I remember leaving the hospital feeling incredibly lucky. Not really thankful to God, but lucky that the surgeons were there. Lucky that they protected me and not God. But I now know that not to be true, because without this love and protection from God that day, I may not have been able to get pregnant with my beautiful daughter, or it certainly would have been made a lot harder than it already was for us. And a few months after that, I was back in the hospital with the same problem. And I had to have the same surgery again. But this time, things went wrong for me. Because when I was taken back to the ward, the nurse on the ward flushed my cannula in my arm. And unknowingly, there was some residual anesthetic drug in the cannula, which, when she flushed it, went straight back into my body. And this left me paralyzed for some time. I was conscious and awake, but unable to move my eyes, or move my body, or move my hands, or even to tell them that I knew and I was aware what was going on around me. I could see the nurse or the doctor open my eyelid and flash a light into my eyes, but I couldn't respond. And again, when I read the report of what went wrong, it says in the report that it's to be commended that the doctor at the time knew what to do. But isn't that, when you read it, isn't that just amazing what God does? But unfortunately, this left me having terrible, terrible nightmares. For a long time, I would wake up gasping for air in the middle of the night. Sometimes I'd have to sleep with the light on. And sometimes I just didn't want to fall asleep at all in case I wouldn't be able to open my eyes when I woke up. And this just magnified all the anger and all the bitterness and all the anxiety for me. And although this is what happened to me physically, it was also happening to me spiritually. Because I was paralyzed in fear, in frustration, in bitterness, in darkness. Here I was coming to church every week, unable to move in my faith, just like I was unable to move in the hospital. All because I didn't understand the love of Jesus, that Christ died for me to secure my freedom, freedom from all the darkness. But God is a God of such love, and he found me and he called me. It was nothing that I did. I encountered Jesus and his love, and he saved me. And he continues to save me every day when I fall short. When ugly thoughts and ways creep back in. And I continually have to ask Jesus for forgiveness when I slip back into old ways that Jesus has already freed me of. And just before I want to finish today, I just want to take a moment to think about the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It's been in my head all week. And isn't it amazing that it was sung today? That's how amazing Jesus is. It's such an amazingly beautiful written song. The truth is, we must survey the cross daily. We must see, understand, and appreciate what Jesus did for us upon that cross. In the last two lines of the final verse, the words are, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Romans 5, verse 9. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The truth is, just like it says in these last two lines, the cross demands a response from us. And the love that was poured out from Jesus on the cross, it should make us want to respond. Our hearts have to respond. That's why Ange and Dave and Pete speak with such passion about Jesus. That's why Teresa and Ikpe and all the other worship team sing songs so loudly with so much love. That's why Jacob always lifts his hands up. If you look at Jacob, his hands are never down. That's why Janet and Howard read the scriptures so proudly. And why Sonia shares God's words so boldly. That's why Jules this morning dances with so much joy. Or how Sue signs with so much love. Because this great love demands a response from us. And that's something that I didn't realize before. I was coming to church and there was no response from me. I was coming in week in, week out, singing the songs and going home and with my life not really transformed. And that's because I didn't understand this verse right here, that while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what's happening today for all those getting baptized. They are responding to this great love that has called them. Thank you.